Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our virtual Mishnah Berurah. We're holding Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel, and Mi'as Hashem, today we will be learning Daf Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Aleph. We are continuing to learn Hilchos Shabbos. We pick up today on the very bottom line of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Simen Shin Tes, Sif Dalet. Our learning today should be a Schus Refuah Shalema from Hashemer Ben Esther Fradel, Yitzchak Ben Tzion Ben Dusha, Rafael Yisrael Menachem and Ita Gnendel, Chav Adasa Baseril, Rivka Bashira Leah. They should have Refuah Shalema, Besai Shar Chel Yisrael. Our learning today should also be a schus, of course, for Achedu Kol Beis Yisrael, Hanesunim Batzaru Bashivya, Ha'imdim Bei Bayamu Bei Bayabosha, Hamakim Yirachem Alevi, Yitzia Mitzar Lervacha, Me'afelu La'ira Mishibad La'gu'ula, Hashto Bagol of Isman Kariv, and Amar Amen. Our learning should be a schus for Yonasan Ben Michal and Yoel Ben Michal. The Rabbeinu Shalom should watch over them and protect them together with all of our other brothers and sisters who find themselves in harm's way. So we are continuing to learn the halachas of muktzah, and today we're going to be discussing the topic of a basis ledavar ha'aser, something that serves as a base or a support for a muktzah item. Says the Mechaber, very bottom line of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Simen Shin Tes, Siv Dalet. Shachach even al pi chavis. If somebody forgot a stone on top of a barrel. So at some point, somebody had taken a stone and placed it on top of a barrel of wine, and it got left there. Now it's Shabbos, and the person wants to take the bottle of wine, the barrel of wine, and he wants to pour out some wine. The problem is that the barrel has a stone on top of it, and the stone is something which is muktza machmas gufay, and you're not allowed to move that stone, not even tzarch gufay, tzarch mekoymai. So that's the first case that the Mechaber gives, shachach even al pi chavis. Mechaber gives us another case. Oy, ma'ois al hakar. Or somebody leaves money on a cushion or on a bed or on a pillow. A kar is some kind of a cushion. So again, you have money, which is an item which is muktza machmas gufay, and it's sitting on top of a non-muktza item. It's sitting on top of a cushion that you want to make use of, but now you're in a quandary. You don't know what to do. So in both of these cases, in the first case you have a barrel of wine, in the second case you have a cushion, and in both cases they have a muktza item on top of them. The question is, what should you do now? Now, if we didn't read the Mechaber any further than this, I think based on everything that we've learned up until this point, many of you will say, well, what exactly is the problem? Let's take the case of the barrel of wine with the stone on top of it. So what do you want to do? You want to pick up the barrel and pour out wine. What's your problem? Your problem is there's a muktza stone on top of the barrel. Okay, so what's the problem? Pick up the barrel and start pouring out wine. What's going to happen to the stone? It's going to fall off. Is that tiltul muktza? No, it's not tiltul muktza. Why? Because l'chayra, this is tiltul min hatzad. And if it's tiltul min hatzad, it shouldn't be a problem. So too, when it comes to the Mechaber's second case of the cushion, you would think that the eitz over here is a very simple eitz. Just pick up the cushion and turn it over and the money will fall off. And what's the problem? It's not tiltul muktza. You're not going to directly handle the money. You're only going to indirectly move it by moving the cushion. So again, it's tiltul min hatzad, which you would think it's mutter. Yet, the Mechaber makes it a little bit more complicated than that. Says the Mechaber, what should you do? So let's read again from the beginning of the sif. Shachach even al pichavis, you forgot and you left a stone on top of a barrel of wine. Oy mois al akar, or you left money on top of a cushion. What should you do, says the Mechaber? Mate chavis al tzida, you should tilt the barrel onto its side. V'ha'even noifeles, and the stone will fall off. Now, what the Mechaber is telling you over here is, no, you should not just pick up the barrel and start using the barrel and let the stone fall off. No, the first thing that you should do is, you should do as a minimal a tiltal as possible. Just take the barrel where it is and tilt it so that the stone should fall off. Only then should you actually pick up the barrel to use it to pour off wine. And in the second case, says the Mechaber, what should you do with the money that's on the kar? U'mina'er hakar, you should shake the cushion, v'hamois noiflim, and let the money fall off. So again, the Mechaber says, no, don't just pick up the cushion and turn it over and let the money fall off. No, you should do a very minimal form of tiltal. You should be menar the car. You should shake it so that the money, which is muktzah, should fall off. That's the opening shot of the Mechaber over here. And let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah to see what's behind this. Mishnah Berurah is cut in Yud Gimel. Shachach Heaven. So the first point that the Mishnah Berurah makes is, the Mechaber gave us this case in the context of Shachach. You forgot a stone on top of the barrel of wine, or you forgot money on top of the car. It's not that you intentionally placed the stone onto the chavis and intentionally placed the money onto the car. No, this was inadvertent. You had put it there at some point, and now you forgot to take it off on Shabbos. So the reason it's there now on Shabbos is because Shachach, is because you forgot it there. Explains the Mishnah Berurah, to b'niach b'kavana al pi achavis, because if you actually intentionally placed the stone on top of the barrel, or the money on the cushion, then harei hachavis gufa muktzah, that would make the barrel itself muktzah as a basis, va'asar lahatoisa, and then you wouldn't even be allowed to tilt it. Danase basis laha even, because now the barrel is going to be a basis ladavar asar ukidle kameh, like we're going to see further on in this sif. Basically, what the Mishnah Berurah is telling us is like this. You know why the Mechaber is talking about Shachach? Because the only problem that we're talking about in the Mechaber's two cases is that there's a mukta item, the stone or the money, on top of non-muktzah items, on top of a non-muktzah barrel, or on top of a non-muktzah car. And why is the chavis and the car not muktzah? Because the stone and the money were not placed there intentionally. They were inadvertently left there for Shabbos. Had they been placed there intentionally, in that case, the chavis itself would be muktzah, because now you would have turned the chavis into a basis l'davar ha'aser. So too, the car itself would be muktzah, because by placing the money onto the car intentionally, you would turn the car into a basis l'davar ha'aser. Now, of course, this is subject to more details that we're going to see later in the shir. Says the Mishnah Berurah, katnu dalet. So in our two cases over here, the Mechaber said, what should you do with the barrel? You should mata al tzido, you should lean it over onto its side. Says the Mishnah Berurah, mayri b'shetzarech likach b'ayayin b'soicha. The cases over here that the Mechaber is giving us is a case where you need to move the barrel. Why? Because you want the wine that's in the barrel. And you want to get the muktzah off the car. Why? Because you want to lay down on the car. So in both cases of the Mechaber, where the Mechaber is giving you an Eitzah, how to get the stone off the barrel and how to get the money off of the car, in both cases, you're doing what you're doing because you want to make use of the non-muktzah item. In the case of the stone on the chavis, you want to make use of the chavis because you want to get wine out of the chavis. In the case of the non-muktzah car, you want to make use of the car because you want to take a nap. That's why it's mutter to tilt the chavis and to shake the car, it says the Mishnah Berurah. So maybe b'shatzarach likach mehayayin shabesoicha, you want to get wine out of the chavis v'chei b'kar, and so too in the case of the cushion kishatzarach lishkavalov, when you want to take a nap on the cushion. V'lachein hitir l'talta l'muktzah ba'ifin zeh, and that's why it is now mutter to go ahead and tilt the barrel or shake the cushion. She'ena m'talta l'lehedya rak al yidei niur, where you're only indirectly moving the muktzah, you're using a very minimal form of tiltal min hatzad. Aval im einay tzarech lehem klal. But let's say you don't need the barrel. You don't want any wine from the barrel. You don't need the car. Rak shechoshish bishum pseidas hamuktzah gufa shelo yigdavum. Let's say you had a case like this, where it's easier to understand this by the case of the money on the cushion. Let's say I don't want to take a nap. I don't need the cushion. The reason I want to get the money off the cushion is because I'm afraid if I leave the money on the cushion, somebody's going to see it and steal it. So now I want to use tiltal min hatzad, not litzarech davar mutter. I don't want to do tiltal min hatzad for the purpose of using the non-muktza item. No. Now I want to do tiltal min hatzad litzarech davar aser. I want to do tiltal min hatzad. I want to shake the cushion and shake the money off for the protection of the money. That's total menatzad l'tzarech davar aser. That is aser. That is not mutter. Says the Mishnah Berurah Vayter. So then, afilu nir aser, even a minimal form of tiltum and atzad, like only shaking the cushion, would be aser. Kein kasev magen avram b'shem rabbein yeruchim. Ve'emata ha'chavis v'hakar b'gufay v'loy b'yadoy. Now, if you have a situation where you want to do tiltum and atzad l'tzarech davar aser, but you're not going to do it with your hands, so let's say you have the wallet sitting on the bed, and you want to get the wallet off the bed to protect the money. So, okay, we said you can't go ahead and do tiltul menatzad using your hands. You can't take hold of the cushion and shake the cushion to shake the money off. But if you could do it begufay, if you could use your elbow and you could knock the cushion, and that in turn will knock the money off the cushion, that, says the Mishnah Berurah, mutar afilu ba'ifin zeh, that would be mutar even if you're doing it l'tzarech davar aser. Basically, now what you're doing is kind of a double tiltul menatzad. You're using tiltul menatzad, you're only indirectly moving the muktzah, and you're not even doing that biyodayim, you're doing it begufay, that would be mutter. Ice cut in tezvav, the mechaber said you should tilt the barrel, or you should shake the car, v'hamois noiflim, and then the money will fall off the car, or the stone will fall off the chavis. V'yokal etaltal achakachakar. Once the money is off the cushion, now you could pick up the cushion and do whatever you want with it. Since the muktzah money is now off the car, now you could do whatever you want with the car. So basically what we have in Tul here is like this. The problem that you had, let's focus on one case. Let's focus on the case of the money on the cushion. The problem that you had was you have money sitting on a cushion, you want to take a nap. Your question is, how do I get the money off the cushion? Said the Mechaber, what you should do is of the most minimal form of tiltul menatzad that you can. You should just shake the cushion in order to get the money off. Now, says the Mishnah Berurah, once you shake the money off the cushion, now you could freely be metaltal the cushion in any way you want. You want to pick it up and take it to another room? You can. The cushion is absolutely not muktzah. It has no muktzah to it whatsoever once the money is off it. Now, we're going to see later, this is only true because the muktzah was not placed there intentionally. So it had the money been placed there intentionally, you would have a bigger problem. Continues the Mishnah Berurah, says, when we come akim, nevertheless, muta lilmay b'shabbos ala shulchan, you're allowed to learn by a table. Let's say you're learning by a table. You have a 6-foot table. You want to sit down and you want to learn. And there's a wallet sitting on the other side of the table. Now, by sitting and learning by the table, you're going to point to the place in the sefer. You're going to shuckle and you're going to shake the table. And by shaking the table, you're going to shake the muktzah item, right? You're going to shake the muktzah item that's on the other side as well. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's okay. Even though it's very possible that you will be moving the muktzah because you're going to shake the table when you learn, but it's not for certain that this is going to happen. So in other words, what the Mishnah Berurah is telling us is like this. You see from the Mechaber over here that we really don't want you employing, and this is the rule that we have to pull out of this halacha of the Mechaber. We have learned that tiltul min hatzad l'tzarech davar mutter is mutter. Yet, what we see from the Mechaber over here is that even when you're doing tiltul min hatzad l'tzarech davar mutter, you're supposed to minimize it as much as possible. So again, you had money sitting on a cushion. The Mechaber says, don't just go ahead and use tiltul min hatzad. Right, again, it's tiltul menatzad l'tzarech davar mutter. You're going to indirectly move the money by moving the cushion, and you're doing it l'tzarech davar mutter because you need to make use of the cushion. Yet, says the Mechaber, don't just pick up the cushion. No. What you should do is you should only use a very minimal form of tiltul menatzad. You should just shake the cushion so that the money should fall off. So you see that tiltul menatzad is not this blanket heter that as long as you're only indirectly moving muktzah, it's not a problem. No, even indirectly moving muktzah could be a problem, and it should be minimized as much as humanly possible. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, but if you want to sit down and learn by a table, you might think, well, maybe I should refrain from doing that, because if I touch the table, I'm going to shake the table, which is going to indirectly shake the mukta, and that's going to be a form of tiltal ben atzad that I don't really need to be doing. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this, says the Mishnah Berurah. That's okay, because it's not considered a psik resha that by learning by the table, you're actually going to shake the mukta. Okay. Now the Mechaber modifies the case a little bit, and the Mechaber says, all right, you're doing Tiltal Min Atzad L'Tzarech Tova Mutter, and I'm telling you that you should minimize the Tiltal Min Atzad as much as possible. But what if you can't minimize it? What if there's a reason that you can't just tilt the barrel onto its side and let the stone roll off? Or you can't just shake the cushion and let the money fall off? Somehow that's not going to work. The only way to get rid of the mukta is by actually picking up the non-mukta item. So says the Mechaber as follows. Let's say the barrel of Cabernet that you want is it's in a row of barrels of wine, so it's surrounded by other barrels. And it's just not practicable for you to be able to simply lean the barrel onto its side and let the rock fall off. You just can't do it. If you're going to lean, the Mishnah Berurah says, it might be a case where if you try to lean this barrel onto its side, the barrel might fall over and it might break another barrel. So you don't have the option of just leaning the barrel onto its side and doing a minimal tiltal min atzad. The only option that's open to you is to actually pick up the barrel with the stone on it. Are you allowed to do that? Says the Mechaber, yes. If the barrel is arranged amongst other barrels, in such a manner that you just can't lean it over onto its side where it is, then you could pick up the barrel the way it is, imha even with the muksa stone on top of it, and you could carry the barrel somewhere else, la toisa sham, so that you should be able to lean it over there, kadesha yipal me aleha, so that the stone should fall off. So basically, what's the Mechaber telling you? The Mechaber is telling you, yes, when you want to employ tiltal min atzad, you have to minimize the tiltal min atzad as much as possible. What does that mean? It means you have to get the mukta item off of the non-mukta item as simply and as quickly as possible. So you have money on a bed. You can't, the answer isn't, okay, you could use tiltal min atzad, so now maybe pick up the blanket and carry it two flights downstairs to your study and shake it off downstairs in your study. No, stay where you are, shake the blanket so that the money should fall on the floor, and then maybe kick it with your foot, which is tiltal begufay, kick it under the bed and worry about it after Shabbos. But you have to minimize that tiltal min atzad. So you have to get rid of the mukta as soon as possible. Having said that, says the Mechaber, if it's just not practicable to do so, if for some reason you can't do that, then you are allowed to employ tiltal min atzad to the extent that you have to, and you could get rid of the mukta that way. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if the barrel is amongst other barrels in such a manner that you can't tilt it over the way it is, you're afraid that it might fall over onto another barrel and break them, so then then you can actually pick up the barrel with the mukta on it right where it is. Because the bottom line is, it is tiltal min atzad. Because you're not directly moving the mukta, you're moving it indirectly by moving the non-mukta barrel. But again, this is only mutter when it's tiltal min atzad l'tzarech tava mutter. This is only mutter because you want to make use of the non-mukta cushion or the non-mukta barrel. The davar zeh shari kidl kaman b'simin shuni yonalef sivches v'afilochi b'reisha kishayav sh'elei b'nir tzarech nir dafka. But the point of the beginning of Sif Dalet is, again, that when you can minimize the tiltal min atzad, you are mechuyev to minimize the tiltal min atzad. Okay, and now really is where we're going to get into the intricacies of the shaila of a basis l'davar asa. So to remind you of what the Mishnah Berurah said in Ice Cut and Yud Gimel. Until this point, we weren't dealing with the halacha of buses. Why? Because in both of the cases the Mechaber gave us in the beginning of Sif Dalet, the Muktza item was left on top of the non-Muktza item inadvertently. It was a case of Shachach. You forgot the stone. You left it there you left it there unintentionally on top of the barrel. You left the money on top of the bed unintentionally. So that does not create a buses. But what if you placed it there intentionally? Now that opens up a whole new shaila. It opens up the shaila of a buses l'davar aser, says the Mechaber. Third line down, near the beginning of the line. Vim hinicham aleha midaitoi. Let's say you placed the muktzah stone on the barrel intentionally, or you put the money on the bed intentionally. And we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, how far do we go? What's called intentionally? That we'll speak about in great length in the Mishnah Berurah. But in any case, says the Mechaber, if you placed the muktzah items on top of the non-muktzah items intentionally, and not only did you place them there intentionally, but when you placed them there, you placed them there al das sheyisharu sham b'knisas haShabbos, with the intention that they should be there and they should remain there for the entire Bein HaShmoshos period on Friday evening at the beginning of Shabbos. So this means you took the money right before Shabbos and you put it down on the bed and you put it there with the intent that it should be there and it should remain there at least for the entire Bein HaShmoshos period. In that case, says the Mechaber, Aser lahatois ulena'er. If you put the money on the bed intentionally, and you put it there with the intent that it should be there for the entire Bein HaShmoshos period, or you took a stone and you put it on top of the barrel, maybe you did it to act as a stopper. Well, I don't want to get into that. Not you put it, forget what I said. You didn't put it there to act as a stopper. But you took a stone and you put it on top of the barrel with the intent that it should remain there for the entire Bein HaShmoshos period. Now you could no longer use the heter of Tiltol Min Hatzad. And the reason for that is because by putting the muktza item on top of the non-muktza item intentionally, and with the intent that it should be there for the Bein HaShmoshos period, what you just did is you made the barrel muktzah and you made the bed muktzah. Why? Because this is the halacha of a basis l'davar ha'aser. When you make something a support for a muktzah item, what you're doing is you're making the non-muktzah item a tuffel. You're making it secondary to the muktzah item. So when you take a wallet with money in it and you put it intentionally on a bed so that the bed should serve as a support, as a base for the money, what you have just done is you have made the bed subservient to the money. And now if you put it there with the intent that it should be there for the entire Bein HaShmoshos period, the bed itself becomes a muktza item. So now we no longer have the same shaila that we had at the beginning of the sif. In the beginning of the sif, we had a muktza item, a stone, on top of a barrel, which is a non-muktza item. Or we had money, a muktza item, on top of a bed, which is a non-muktza item. Now that's no longer the case. Now what you did was you turned the barrel and you turned the bed themselves into muktza items. Let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, is cut in Yud Ches. Al das sheyisharu. In this case, what you did is you put the muktza item on the non-muktza item intentionally, and you did it with das that it should remain there for the Bein HaShmoshos period. Says the Mishnah Berurah, aval im hinicha bekavada bechol. But let's say what you did is you didn't put the muktza item on the non-muktza item on Erev Shabbos with intent that it should be there for Bein HaShmoshos. No, you took a muktza item, you put it on top of a non-muktza item on Tuesday afternoon. And Shabbos was the furthest thing from your mind. You weren't thinking about Shabbos at all. So yes, you put the muktza item on top of the non-muktza item intentionally, but it had nothing to do with Shabbos. You didn't put it there with intent that it should be there for the Bein HaShmoshos period of Friday evening. You weren't thinking about Shabbos at all. You weren't thinking about Shabbos. And then you left it there on Shabbos. Mikri Shecheach. That goes back to the beginning of Sif Dalet. That's called that you put it there unintentionally. And that would not create a basis. Vedasa Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is even more makel. Da'afilu hinicham be'erev Shabbos. The Beis Yosef says, even if you didn't do this on Tuesday afternoon, even if you did it Friday afternoon, you did it on Erev Shabbos. So you put a muktzah item on top of a non-muktzah item intentionally on Erev Shabbos. But again, you weren't thinking about Shabbos. As long as you didn't have in mind that it should specifically remain there at the beginning of Shabbos, and then when Shabbos came along, you simply forgot to take it off, Gamzehu b'chlal shachach, that's also called, you forgot it there, that would also be called inadvertent, and that would not create a basis. V'hine, be'ikar din basis, when it comes to the point of the halacha of basis, Masik b'bangan Avram, the Bangan Avram concludes, the loimikri basis, that we don't call something a basis, and it doesn't become muktzah, ela im kein hiniach alav davar ha-muktzah, Bishvil sheyisyashev alav bitoiv. In order to create a basis, the Magen Avraham says, there has to be a very high level of intent. It has to be that you took a muktzah item, you intentionally put it on top of a non-muktzah item for the purpose of the non-muktzah item being the support for the muktzah item. Avamashem enichim b'darach akroi. But if you just haphazardly put a muktzah item on top of a non-muktzah item, k'moy shirigilim lahasim b'teva chafetzim elu al elu mepnei she'en lo revach lefanis l'chol chafetz makom b'shule ateva. Let's say you have a box or you have a drawer that you dump stuff in. Now, when you take a muktzah item, so you take your some coins and you put them into a drawer and they land in the drawer on top of a non-muktzah item. So, I don't know, you have a box of tissues in a drawer, and you take a couple of dollar bills, and you just open the drawer, and you dump a few dollar bills into the drawer, and they land on top of the tissue box. Did you intentionally put the dollar bills on top of the tissue box so that the tissue box should act as a base for the dollar bills? No, you wanted to throw the dollar bills into the drawer. Now, it's not this super organized drawer where there's, the left corner of the drawer is the tissue box space, and then next to it is a space to put down dollar bills. No, it's a drawer. You dump things in it. So at one point, you dumped in a tissue box, and now you dumped in a few dollar bills, and they landed on top of the tissue box. The Magen Avraham says that is not going to make the tissue box a basis to the dollar bills. Kahai gavda l'chashiv maniach. That's not called that you intentionally put the dollar bills on top of the tissue box to act as a base. Elo shecheach. That's called forgetting. Doesn't really mean forgetting. It's called inadvertent placement. That's not called intentional placement. And therefore, mutter l'tatel chefetz hamutter, it would be mutter to move the tissue box achar sheniaru hamuktza me'olov. What you would have to do is you would have to reach into the drawer, you would have to shake the tissue box in order to get the dollar bills off the tissue box, because that's the halacha of the beginning of Sif Dalet. You have to do tiltol min hatzad, so you're going to move the dollar bills indirectly by shaking the tissue box, and you have to do it in as minimalist a fashion as possible. So don't just pick up the tissue box, tilt it, and get the dollar bills off. No, shake the tissue box where it is, to shake the dollar bills off. Do a very minimalist tiltol min hatzad. But that will be mutter because the tissue box itself did not become usser. It didn't become muktzah as a basis. Why didn't it become muktzah as a basis? Because your placement of the dollar bills on top of the tissue box was considered akroy. It was considered haphazard. It wasn't considered to be intentional. Umikam lakayim, but, says the Mishnah Berurah, hateva gufa. But the box itself, or the drawer itself, lekulei alma have a basis ledvar iser im hamuktzah chashiv yoser. Let's say it wasn't a few dollar bills that you dropped on top of the tissue box. Let's say it was $100 bill that you dropped on top of the tissue box. Now you have a different problem. Now the problem is not that the tissue box is muktzah because it's a basis to the $100 bill. The tissue box is still not a basis to the $100 bill because you still only put the $100 bill on the tissue box in a haphazard fashion. So you didn't turn the tissue box into a basis. But now the drawer or the box is a basis. Why? Because what do you have in this drawer? You have a tissue box that's worth $250 and you have a $100 bill. Well, the $100 bill is far, far, far more value than the tissue box. So the tissue box is bottled to the $100 bill. And now the drawer is seen as being a basis l'davar aser. If they were of equal value or close, so then the drawer would be a basis l'davar aser, the $100 bill, and l'davar muter. But in this case, the $100 bill is so much more valuable than the tissue box that it's as if the tissue box is not there, and therefore the drawer is a basis l'davar aser to the $100 bill, and now the drawer itself is a muktzah, and you're not allowed to move the drawer. And again, the drawer could become a basis because we don't say that you put the $100 bill in the drawer haphazardly. No, you wanted the $100 bill in the drawer. So you intentionally put the $100 bill in the drawer. You haphazardly put it on top of the tissue box. So you can't turn the tissue box into a basis by putting the $100 bill there. But you can turn the drawer into a basis. And he brings this down from the Chayyadim. Well, Lafiza, and according to this, the Mishnah Berurah brings down a little bit of a funny case, which we have to understand. So let me give you just a little bit of a backdrop so you should be able to understand this case. Apparently, back in the day, and I think this makes sense when you think about the types of houses that they had in the times of the Chafetz Chaim and the level of poverty that they lived in. They probably had very, very tiny kitchens that didn't have all sorts of counter space. They didn't have all sorts of extra tables and all sorts of extra surfaces all over the kitchen and the dining room area. They also probably, they didn't have food storage bags and silver foil and all sorts of containers and everything else. So on Erev Shabbos, when they prepared the food for Shabbos, so you have the challah and maybe the fish that you want to put out on the table, what they used to do was, they used to put down a tablecloth on the table. And this is something that we learned when we were learning the halachas of Kavod Shabbos, that you're supposed to have a tablecloth on the table. So they would put a tablecloth down on the table. Then they would put out the challah and maybe the fish and maybe some salads or whatever it is on top of the tablecloth. Then they would cover up everything that was on the table with a second tablecloth. So they did this really in order to protect the food. This was a way of protecting the food that was put out on the table until it was time to eat. So they would throw another tablecloth on top of the foodstuffs that were under, that were on top of the bottom tablecloth. Then the licht, the Shabbos licht, would go on top of that second tablecloth, and the woman would light the Shabbos licht. Now, at some point, when it was time to eat the Suda, they would ask an Eino Yehudi to go ahead and pick up the licht, right, the candlesticks, and take them off the table so that they could now remove the top tablecloth and they can now sit down and eat. Now, you're going to ask me about Amira La'akum. So the answer is that we're going to see, you're allowed, and we saw this already, you're allowed to ask an Eino Yehudi to move muktzah. For sure, b'makom tzarich, and for sure, l'tzarich mitzvah. It would be a shvus to shvus, right? It's a double derabanan. Muktzah is a derabanan, Amir la'akum is a derabanan. And you're doing it l'tzarich mitzvah, you're doing it for the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. You're doing it to facilitate the Suda. So now, against that backdrop, says the Mishnah Berurah as follows. L'fizeh. Let me just mention, the shaila that we're going to come up with over here is, okay, so the Eino Yehudi is going to go ahead and take the candlesticks off of the top tablecloth. But is the top tablecloth now itself muktzah? Are you allowed to take the top tablecloth off the table? Or do you have to ask the Eino Yehudi to take the top tablecloth off the table? Did the top tablecloth become a basis because the candlesticks were sitting on top of it? That's the shaila that the Mishnah Berurah is dealing with there. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ulafizeh, according to what we just said, what did we just say? We just quoted the Magen Avraham And we said that the Magen Avraham holds that in order to create a basis l'davar ha'asr, the mukta item has to be placed on top of the basis with a very high level of intent. It can't just be haphazard that I just happen to stick it there. It has to be that I put the mukta item on top of the non-mukta item because I want the non-mukta item to serve as a base for the mukta item. That's what you need in order to create a basis, according to this Magen Avraham. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if he's there, according to this Magen Avraham, Masha Noyagin B'Shabbos, this custom that we have on Shabbos, Lahaser Hamapa El Yoyname Ala Shulchan, to remove the top tablecloth from the table, Achar Shemeser Ha'ena Yehudi Hamanoira Me Aleha, after the Ena Yehudi took the candlesticks off, Kadeno, he said, that's okay, Lahalacha. Why? Because the upper tablecloth is not a basis. Why isn't it a basis? Lefishein Sar Shetei Hamanoira Dafka Ala Mapa. You don't want or need the candlesticks to be on top of the upper tablecloth. You don't want the upper tablecloth to serve as a base for the candlesticks so that it should be considered a basis to the candlesticks. The purpose of the upper tablecloth is to cover the food items that are underneath it on top of the lower tablecloth. The only reason the candlesticks are on top of that upper tablecloth is because what should you do? You need the upper tablecloth to cover the foodstuffs on the table, and you need to put the Shabbos licht on the table. So what are you going to do? If you were dealing with disposables, so maybe you would cut an opening in the upper tablecloth. But they didn't have that situation. So like the Mishnah Berurah says, Veinam Amid Al Mapa, the only reason you put the candlesticks on top of the upper tablecloth, Elabit Neshi'i Eshelon Lefadis Makom La'amanoiru B'kuf HaShochan Atzmai, because really you just want the candlesticks on the table. But you don't have a way of putting the candlesticks directly on the tabletop because you need the tablecloths and the food and the upper tablecloth sitting on the table. So the only reason the candlesticks are on the upper tablecloth is because you have no choice. But it's not because you want the upper tablecloth to serve as a basis for the candlesticks. Or because you didn't think, oh, maybe I could fold the upper tablecloth back and I could put the candlesticks onto the lower tablecloth. But again, this, according to the Magen Avraham, would be considered inadvertent placement. This would not be called intentional placement. And therefore, the upper tablecloth is not considered a basis to the candlesticks, she'aleha, she'tayasa betiltal, that it should become muktzah and it should be asa betiltal. Uva mapa atachtoina. And when it comes to the lower tablecloth, says the Mishnah Berurah, ain't tzarich l'chol zeh. You don't even have to come on to this lamdus for the lower tablecloth. The lower tablecloth is not a problem anyway, because the lower tablecloth is going to have the food for the suda on top of it, including the lechem mishnah. And the lechem, the chalas that are on the lower tablecloth, are always going to be considered the most chashiv item. However, there are those, and if you take a look, there's a very lengthy, very interesting Sharet Sion, this Yesh Machmirin is the Taz that says it's much easier to make a basis than the way the Magen Avraham is putting it. Certainly says the Mishnah Berurah, the Makom Tzairich, we could rely on this Magen Avraham. The Kama Achroinim Tzairichim Kavasei the Magen Avraham, because many other Achroinim agree with this Magen Avraham. Another interesting case brings down the Mishnah Berurah, Kina Shel Tanegolos, the nest of chickens. V'yesh Sham Beitza She'yesh Ba Efrayach. And there's a fertilized egg that has a chick in it. She'aysa Beitza Asura B'Tiltal. An egg that has a chick in it is Muktzah Machbas Gufay. It's not Royal Achila for a person. It's not even considered Royal Achila for an animal because of the shell. So a shell with a chick in it is Muktzah Machbas Gufay. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have a chicken, a nest of a chicken, of a hen, and it has a fertilized egg in it that has a chick in it, even though you didn't know that there was going to be an egg there, it could be this egg was laid before the Ben Hashmashas period, but it was not a dover. It wasn't a dover vadai. It wasn't for certain that there was going to be an egg there. This is called intentional. The nest is considered a basis l'davar aser to the egg. Now, the rule that the Mishnah Berurah is telling us over here is a very important rule for us to know. Basically, what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is like this. We have this Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is telling us that in order to create a basis l'davar aser, the mukta item has to be placed with a very high level of intent on top of the non-mukta item. So, for instance, I remember a shaila that once came up. Somebody in Erev Shabbos took his car keys and dropped his car keys on top of the Jewish magazine that his wife wanted to read on Shabbos. So they dropped the car keys on top of the Bina magazine. I'm not going to get into now, go back to the whole topic of Shtari Hedyotis. We're going to assume that the woman is allowed to read the Bina magazine on Shabbos. But now the car keys on top of it. The car keys are muktzah. Could even be that they're muktzah machmas gufay. So you have a muktzah item on top of the Bina magazine. Does the Bina magazine become a basis l'davar aser? The answer is no. Why? Because the husband certainly did not put down the car keys on top of the Bina magazine because he wanted the Bina magazine to serve as a base for the car keys. He didn't put it on with a level of intent. He just wanted to drop his car keys somewhere. So he happened to drop them on top of the Bina magazine. The Bina magazine is not now a basis l'davar ha'aser. Now let's apply this to the nest of the hen. So the nest of the hen has an egg with a chick in it. The egg with the chick in it is muktzah machmas gufay. Now, did you place the egg into the nest? No, the hen did. Now, it's your hen. You didn't even know for certain that the egg was going to be there. The hen doesn't necessarily lay an egg every day. You don't know what time the hen lays an egg. Yet, says the Mishnah Berurah, this nest would be a basis l'davar aser. Why? Because it is exceedingly common to find an egg with a chick in it in the nest. And therefore, that is called that it was placed there with your intent. The hen, the nest, the coop, this is all your setup. And you want the hen to lay eggs in its nest, and it's exceedingly common that the egg will be there. That's called placement with intent. A more contemporary example of this, I think, would be a wallet with money in it. If you have a wallet, and your wallet has money in it on Erev Shabbos, and that money was in it for the Ben Hashmashas period, your wallet is a basis l'davar aser. Even if you put that money in the wallet on Tuesday, and you weren't thinking about Shabbos at all. So you put money inside your wallet on Tuesday afternoon, you didn't have a single thought about Shabbos. So based on what we learned earlier, you might come to me and you might say, listen, I didn't put the money into the wallet with intent that it should be there on Shabbos. I put it there Tuesday afternoon. I wasn't even thinking about Shabbos. Yeah, but a wallet is made to hold your money. And for most people, they at least hope that their wallet always has money in it. And therefore, that is called placement with intent to be there on Shabbos. And the wallet would be a basis l'davar aser. We see that now in the closing out of this sif, where the Mishnah Berurah says, V'chein b'chol mokim k'yotze b'zeh. Anything similar to this hen's nest, b'davar shedarko lias mukta alav, if it's the derech of that item to contain or to have mukta on top of it, b'vadei hevek k'miniach, that is called placement with intent. I just got your test. The Mechaber said that to create the basis, you need placement with intent, and it has to be with intent that the mukta item should be there b'knisas haShabbos when Shabbos comes in. Says the Mishnah Berurah, cut your test. Hainu kolzman bein hashmashas. When the Mechaber says that it has to be that there was intent for the mukta item to be there b'knisas haShabbos, it means for the entire bein hashmashas period, Friday evening. And in that case, the base item becomes a basis l'davar aser. It itself becomes muktzah. In that case, you would not be allowed to use any form of tiltel min atzad, even a very minimal type of tiltel min atzad, to remove the muktzah off the base item. Why? Because now the base item itself is muktzah. Like the Mishnah Berurah says, the barrel that has the stone on top of it, or the cushion that has the money on it, they themselves become a basis. What's a basis? Hainu kain. It means a support. Umakam moshev, a base. Targum lekina lebesise. Laha muktzah shaleim. They become subservient to the muktzah that's on them. Veheim gufa muktzah. And they themselves become muktzah. So again, basically, no pun intended, the halach of a basis al davar ha'asur is when you take a mukta item and you put it on top of a non-mukta item and you place it there with intent that you want the mukta item to be on top of that non-mukta item. In that case, if you put it there with intent and it was there for the Ben Hashmashas period on Shabbos, it will be mukta for the entirety of Shabbos. Even if the mukta item somehow comes off the non-mukta item, it will still be mukta for the entirety of Shabbos because of the rule of Migui Diskatsoi Le Ben Hashmashas Diskatsoi Le Kula Yuma. And the lumdus of the basis is that the base item becomes subservient to the mukta item and it itself becomes muktzah. We're going to continue on this theme in the next year. Mirz Hashem, thank you so much for joining me for Liman HaTorah. The source of Liman HaTorah should be Megan against Klai Yisrael. The Baruch Hashem should send Yeshua Sefores Panasa Shetukum to all those in need. We should be Zaychet to see the B'Yaskal Tzedek B'Meir V'Yameinu Amen. Be well.